So each week during the summer, the preacher has a chance to preach on his or her favorite passage from the week before's reading in the summer book club. And so when I was reading along and saw that John 3:16 was one of the passages from this previous week, I thought any self-respecting preacher probably ought to choose the passage that included John 3:16. Right? John 3:16 is one of the most famous verses in the whole Bible. It is what Martin Luther called the gospel in brief. And if you are of a certain age and grew up in the church, you might even have that verse memorized. If you can, if you would say it with me in any version that you happen to know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life, right? So many of you even know it, which is why I chose to put it in a different version in the bulletin. I'm going to be reading it from The Message, which is a paraphrase. I thought it might help it come to life if we read it in a version that we're not as familiar with. So I'm going to read this now. It's John 3:16 through 21. So listen to this good news from the Gospel of John now. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. This is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light, so the work can be seen for the God work it is. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So one reason that this verse and this passage is so famous is because it's good news, right? If we believe in Jesus, we don't have to worry about getting in trouble with God. That's one reason why I like the fresh language of this translation, that when we believe in God, we're not going to get in trouble with God, that when Jesus came, it was like a light was being shown down on the earth. And although there are people who don't like to be in the light, when the light comes, if we walk towards the light, it will welcome us in love. And I remember the first time that I heard this message of love that came through this verse in John 3:16. I had heard that verse forever, but I really needed to hear it when I was at a retreat. I think I was in 7th or 8th grade. And 7th or 8th grade is not a great time of age for anyone. One of my friends said that 7th grade is a terrible time to be alive. It was for me. I remember my sisters were cheerleaders and wrestlerettes, and I didn't quite reach their stature. I was, you know, a kid who won spelling bees. Winning spelling bees in my junior high did not exactly establish you on the same rung of popularity as being a cheerleader. And I felt that very keenly. And so I was at this youth retreat at a church, and the guest speaker was talking about how this passage and how Jesus did not just come. God did not just give us Jesus to die for some nameless, faceless group of people that Jesus never knew or didn't ever really understand who they were, but rather that Jesus knew intimately every single one of us. And I remember the speaker turning to my best friend and saying, "Steve, if you had been the only person who had ever lived, Jesus would have still come and died for you." And to my seventh grade, unpopular, unloved, spelling bee winner slash loser self, he might as well have been saying it to me. And it felt like I was just like right there in the center of this circle of love that God had drawn around me in Jesus Christ. It was exactly what I needed to hear because I didn't feel much of that love at school. And the amazing thing is that it's true, not just for me, but for each one of you too, right? That if you were the only person that had ever been born, God would have still given you Jesus to die for you. That's amazing, and it's true. And what's even more amazing is that that circle of love, it doesn't just stop with us. That there's more circles that go out further and further and further, that God's love in Jesus Christ, given to us in Jesus Christ, it expands outward to. So it's not just an individual thing. It is an individual thing, but it expands outward to include others too. So it's a more of a collective than just an individual. And so, for instance, it encompasses everybody that's here right now in this church, everybody in the whole church. And that's why when I think about Nancy leaving, I'm disappointed. I know so many of you are disappointed. I'm really disappointed too. Nancy is such a good colleague. She is so much fun to be around. I often describe Nancy as one of these people that when she's not there, it feels like someone has forgotten to turn on the lights. You know, Nancy is such a good, she's amazing, and I'm so grateful for the chance to work with you. And you're so humble, too. The way you phrased your announcement that you were leaving, you didn't let people clap for you. So I'm going to let people clap for you now and give you thanks. So thank God for your ministry. Lots more times for us to celebrate her ministry. But the thing is, I'm disappointed that Nancy is leaving, but I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous because as awesome as Nancy is, we have a God who surrounds us collectively with the kind of love that comes for us in Jesus Christ. And so the same God who sent us Nancy to help us is, I told her today, newsflash, God is even more amazing than Nancy. And so God, who sent us Nancy to help us figure out what's coming in the future, God has this thing in hand. And so I'm really disappointed that Nancy's leaving. I'm going to miss you so much. But I'm not worried, because God has us in hand. God loves us collectively enough to come as Jesus Christ. And if God loves us enough to come as Jesus Christ, surely God loves us enough to take us into this next season of life as a church. So God's love, the circle around us, it's not just a circle around us, it's a circle around us collectively too. And the amazing thing about Nancy's leaving is that she's actually reminding us too that it's not just a circle around us, but it's a circle that pushes us outward to show that love for other people too. You know, Nancy's choosing to show love to her parents in a very tangible way now, even though I think in a lot of ways your preference would be to stay here. If circumstances were different, your preference would be to stay here. So Nancy's letting God's call to honor our parents take precedence over her own preference, really, to stay here.
And that's the kind of love that Jesus shows for the world, right? That we don't put our own preferences first, but we put the decision to love others tangibly before. And this circle of love that starts around us, and then we realize it's bigger, and then we realize it's bigger because it needs to go out and show for other people too, that we put other people first in this like selfless act. Because I don't think God, you know, think about God sending and giving Jesus his only son for us, for the world. I don't think God was thinking, well, I think that Joseph and Mary would be really great parents, so I think I'll send Jesus to go down there. Or, you know, Bethlehem is really close to the beach, so that would be a great place for Jesus to come. I don't think that's what God had in mind. And I don't think Jesus was in heaven before coming down to be incarnated on earth. I don't think Jesus was thinking, well, you know, I really can't wait to go to the cross. That is going to be so terrific. But they modeled this selfless love, this circle of love that was drawn so widely that it wasn't about what was good for Jesus. It was about what was good for us. So Jesus didn't come to condemn us. Jesus came to save us, and to come to save us meant the circle of love had to be drawn so widely that Jesus was willing to put other people before himself, to put us before himself and die for us. So that's the kind of love that Jesus, the circle of love that gets broader and broader and broader and broader. And so when we're living in this circle of love, Jesus is calling us and empowering us to share that love with other people too. And the amazing thing is that it moves even beyond showing that love for people that we know, like our parents or like our families, to people we don't know, we might not ever come into contact with. And that's why I've been so encouraged watching over the last couple of weeks, as there's been so much outpouring of concern and support for the children who have been separated from their parents on our southern border. They've been coming in with this policy of separating children from their parents. And I was so encouraged to see a statement by President Craig Barnes of Princeton Seminary that captured a lot of what I have been thinking about it. I'm just going to read you part of that statement. He writes, "The immigration issue in our country is complicated and requires the rigorous debate in which we are now engaged. Those who wish to invoke a biblical ethic should be guided by a test of love. There is nothing loving about prying children from their parents' arms when families are at their most vulnerable. The Bible calls us to extend mercy and hospitality to widows, orphans, children, and others who are in need. Let us remember the ways that Christ cared for children as God's own beloved ones, saying, 'Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. May it be so on earth and in our nation as it is in heaven.'" So the God of the universe, who loves us enough to give us Jesus Christ, not to condemn the world, but to love the world, has in that circle of love those children, those babies and toddlers and children. And in that same circle of love are their parents. Regardless of the reasons that they've come here, they are encircled in that love. I'm really grateful that the policy has changed, and I pray that the children and their parents will be united again and quickly. And I long for a day, I'm thinking about this, these circles of love, if they were able to expand further and further and become more and more tangible, what would it look like if Christians and others were able to tangibly demonstrate God's love all over the world, so that God's peace and wholeness and love, God's shalom, were present all over the world, so that these families who are risking so much to come so far a distance because the circumstances in their home are so terrible that they risk so much to come all the way here, What if the circumstances in their home countries were better, so they didn't feel compelled to go so far at such great cost, at such a distance? What if the circle of love were tangibly put in place all over the world so that they didn't feel like they had to come and leave their circumstances because they were so desperate? I wonder what that might look like. I wonder how we might contribute to that. I'm thankful because I was with a group of people this past week who were working on pushing out those boundaries of God's love, the circle of God's love, in a really tangible way to people that probably don't feel God's love at all. You know, this concern for people that don't feel God's love, even though they're within that circle of love, that's one of the reasons why I use the benediction that I use whenever I preach. I say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love and all those who feel no love, both now and forever. Amen. I believe, of course, that everybody is encircled by God's love, but not everybody realizes it. I think about that for those children and their parents at the border. And I think about that for others in society who are powerless and oppressed. And so I was starting to say, I'm grateful that I got to see some Christians this week really work to demonstrate in tangible ways that those circles of love circle around people that may not feel it. I was at General Assembly this last week. General Assembly is kind of like the Congress of the Presbyterian Church USA. It happens every 2 years, and there are about 2,500 people that come together. There are commissioners, and then there are staff people, and there are observers. I've been a staff person for the last few years, and this time I was an observer, which is a lot less work and a lot more wonder in this case. Because what I saw on Tuesday was that there was an offering and then a march for justice for people who have to spend time in jail because they can't make a bail payment. This is an entirely new thing to me. It may not be new to you, but it's entirely new to me that people who are accused of a crime, who can't make their bail payment, have to stay in jail until their trial. You know, we believe as a country in innocent until proven guilty, but those are empty words. If you can't make a bail payment, you have to stay in jail until your trial date comes. Now, one of the reasons that it's new to me is because every one of my friends would be able to put up a few hundred dollars to get out of a situation like that. And probably for virtually all of us here, that we would either have the money or we would know somebody who would give us the money so that we would never be in that situation. So it impacts people, of course, who are of lower income, and a lot of people of color who spend time in jail till their trial because they're accused of a crime. This, of course, means they have to quit or they get fired from their jobs, they're separated from their families, and they're often shunned in their communities. Again, they haven't been convicted of a crime at all. They're just awaiting trial. And so on Tuesday, there was an offering at the worship service, and then Presbyterians from around the country sent in money, and there was $50,000 collected, and a march that went to the jail, and presented to the authorities there, to the city hall perhaps, this check for $50,000 to free dozens of people that had not been convicted of a crime. And there's an organization called the Bail Project, which vets people in this situation to make sure they're nonviolent offenders and to make sure they're very likely to stay in, you know, not a flight risk, that they're people that some of them are just traffic violations. You know, they're people that have very low level offense. And so with this $50,000, dozens of people were able to be freed. Dozens of people were able to go back to living their life like normal. Dozens of people were able to do what we would have been doing had we been accused of a similar crime, because we would have just paid the bail in the first place. Dozens of people who would feel that the scripture that Bob read was true, that God was setting the captives free. Dozens of people who could feel that tangibly this circle of love was reaching out to them when maybe they had a hard time believing it before. So this verse, John 3:16, there's a reason it's so famous. Right? It reminds us that the circle of love is around us. And that's good news, that if we were the only person ever born, that Jesus would come for us. That's amazing good news. But it doesn't stop with us. It reaches out to all of us as a collective. Then it doesn't stop there. It reaches out and pushes us out, and Jesus empowers us to reach out to others who don't feel any love at all. It's amazing. And it's the task, and it's the gift of the gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.